This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something like that.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, had open three for the tie. Good! Wiley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
Pyle dribbling in and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking! And Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! Hey boy, we're rolling here in Salina!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE. Or for those of you listening online, worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is a little bummed this morning, a little bummed to start this week, after not having his best showing in the McPherson City Golf Tournament. Good showing.
Good showing.
Definitely not his best.
Great team showing.
Yeah.
We couldn't have done much. Well, you take
everybody
away,
knows Steve Sell is a team first guy.
I'm a team first guy, yeah. And my partner Cliff Hawks and I, if we just played about the first six holes at the country club on the first day, we'd been right there.
Sounds like you got eaten alive a little bit by the country club.
As usual. And
the
again,
quick greens.
Yeah.
We talked about it on Friday.
And, you know, I'm the bottom line is, you know, I've gotten up in years, and in tournament situations, I'm just not a good enough putter to really, you know.
I thought you were going to say that the pressure gets to you.
No.
You crumble.
No, those greens just get inside your head and really struggle on the greens. But, I was happy. I came back with 76 and 77, which is okay. It's nothing. It's just average. But, in the two-man, we had a real nice run. And had it not been for Daniel Mitchell and Zach Locke just going absolutely insane yesterday, they shot a 63. We'd been in the money. But, for a couple guys over 60 to shoot 6-under low ball the last 2 days, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, not a bad weekend for you. Not a bad weekend for friend of the show,
Treg Fall. Yeah.
I told him that he was putting the pressure on you, that Steve's writing all these stories and saying, oh, he's a cinch to win those city tournaments. And
he won by 11. But you know,
no pressure.
What was really funny, the first round, he's 2-over after 3 holes. He finishes 2-over. Saturday, what did he say he did? He bogeyed his first 2 or something like that, and he shoots 4-under. Yesterday, very first hole, we looked back there. There's Treg picking his ball up out of bounds. Hit a ball out of bounds on the first hole. Played even par the rest of the way. So the thing is, he makes so many birdies that, you know, he can have a bad hole or two. But he finished. In fact, on Saturday, he's 3-over after 4 holes, and he plays 7-under on the last 14. That is just tearing it up. So anyway, congratulations to Treg. Treg and Tony, his dad, two-man champions, only won by one, though. Like I said, Mitchell and Zach Locke really had a great round on Sunday, 32-31 for a 63. I know Daniel Mitchell made a birdie on 17, eagle on 18, holed out for an eagle on 18. And what's really strange is they played in front of us, I believe, and, we weren't paying much attention.
You were so focused on your
own
game.
Yeah, and, you know, we shot 33 on the front, which was pretty good. And then had a couple bogeys on the back, couple birdies to shoot 35. So we shot 68-68 on the weekend. So for, you know, that's almost shooting our age. So that's not too bad. But anyway, great tournament, good turnout. We had great weather.
Yeah.
The weather, we teed off 2 hours early or an hour and a half early yesterday to try to beat the rain. Well, it never rained. And then it was real weird because the first tee time was at 10:30. And about 10 o'clock, it looked like it was going to just, it was really dark. It looked like it was just going to pour. Next thing you know, it lightens up, and we had perfect conditions yesterday.
No heat strokes for you.
No heat strokes for me, no.
I got some concerned text messages over the weekend going, is Steve okay? is he going to have another heat stroke? They were worried because we were talking about it on Friday.
Who texted that?
My buddy Eli, big fan of the show. He was real nervous for you.
Yeah, well, I drank water all weekend.
Well, good.
So
not too much beer.
I don't drink beer when I play.
Was anybody drinking beer while they play?
Oh yeah.
Is it relaxing enough?
The guys we played with did yesterday, and
good.
They played pretty good.
Well, I think that's the recipe. It's not a good recipe for me.
Yeah. Oh, I don't do it.
Well, like a few's okay.
Yeah.
But
no.
My golf game drunk is not very good.
Well, I don't drink and play golf. I just don't do that. And I don't really basically drink at all anymore, so.
Nah, he's got enough stuff stashed underneath his desk back there in the back office.
Yeah, right.
He's sort of like Mad Men.
Oh, no.
Well, while you were playing golf all weekend, I got to go up to Salina and watch the KBCA All-Star Games. And for McPherson fans that didn't get to go, it was something that we are used to seeing because, let's face it, we're used to watching the top quality of Mr. and Miss Basketball in the state of Kansas,
right.
And Taylor Robertson and Ben Pyle. And in the girls' game, I think there were a lot of people that have maybe heard about Taylor throughout the years and gone, well, we've heard she's pretty good. Well, she's going to OU. You watch her warm up a little bit and you go, oh, well, we'll see what she's able to do. We'll see what she could do on the biggest of stage. And Taylor was awesome on Saturday. And for one last time representing McPherson, 7 out of 9 from 3.
Yeah.
29 points on 14 shots.
Right.
It was as Taylor Robertson of a Taylor Robertson game there could be.
Well,
she was awesome.
Yeah, and right before we came on the air, I did my spot for today, my Freddy spot. I said, did you expect anything less? You knew they'd go out in style. And everybody I talked, you were there, but I've talked to some other people, and they said they were clearly the best two players on the floor in respective games.
And Ben was very good, and there was a lot of good players.
26 for Ben.
Yeah, and like I was telling you, Ben does not have very many flashy games in him. He had a couple this year, the Derby game where he scored 35. When he really starts to heat up from three, that's when you really notice.
Yeah.
But Ben is so good at just making it look easy, driving to the basket with a little reverse layup or pulling up from 15. He hit a couple of threes, but he's so smooth.
He's got so many ways he can score. I mean, he's got a myriad of moves. You know, he's got that little finger roll up and under, shoots the three, can get to the basket. So it was great to see him have a great game before, you know, when he goes back to Western Illinois. And I wrote in my column that, you know, Western Illinois, I would look at him at a two. I would play him at the two. I think he could be a 6'8 guard in college basketball. I really do.
He's got the ball handling skills, that's for sure.
Right.
He can shoot it.
Yeah.
How would you like to be a 6'3 guard and be defended by Ben?
Well, that's exactly what I...
How would you get off a three?
That's what I said in my column. I said, you know, he's just a mismatch nightmare at both ends of the court because he's so long. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think the thing with Ben for the Division I game, he's going to have to get stronger. And he knows it. I'm sure he knows it. He's got to get physically stronger because he's 6'8", probably doesn't weigh 200, I don't think. I don't know.
What a bummer that would be to be able to eat all the food you want and go, man, I can't put on any weight.
Yeah, I'm guessing Ben's...
I've got to eat two crackers a day to not put on any weight.
What would you say, 180, 190 maybe?
Probably a little more than that.
Yeah, but... You know, at the college game, it's really interesting because Jeremiah Robinson Earl, I posted a story today, leaving MEA, something we'll talk about later. But Jeremiah Robinson Earl, since he's been done with his season this year, he's put on 15 pounds. So obviously, I don't know if he's got a personal trainer.
I'm sure he's got somebody.
He's got somebody in Kansas City. You know he does. But he's 235 now. Can you imagine him at 235? He's going to be a monster.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about Jeremiah a little bit. KBCA games were really fun. Got to see a lot of very good players.
I've been to those. And they used to be on TV. Now they're not.
They were streamed live with friend of the show, Trent Sanchez from Abilene. He was doing the play-by-play, and I got to go up at halftime of the girls' game and brag about Taylor and Ben a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a cool weekend there. It was also very fun and good to hear. Coach Strathman got to present the awards for the Courage Awards for Taylor and for Mandy. And so he got to tell their stories in front of all of the KBCA people at the reception and talk about why those two were deserving of the Courage Awards, Got to hear a little bit about Ben and Taylor winning Mr. and Miss Basketball.
Right.
It was just it's a long fun weekend there.
I've been to that before, and it's a really long ceremony.
You know, I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, normally
it was about an hour 45.
I think because the one year I went, Roger Trimble got inducted in the Hall of Fame. And Coach. you know Rog, storyteller.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he trotted out all his famous stories.
Well, he's got lots of good stories.
Oh, he does. But you know Roger's motto about coaching. It's not whether you win or lose, but how well you eat after the game.
Got to eat well after the game.
Yeah, got to eat well.
I got to eat well in Salina. Went to Applebee's.
There you go.
Had some time to kill in between the reception and then going to watch the games. Then after, I stuck around and watched the late night showing of the new Jurassic Park movie.
Okay.
You a Jurassic Park guy?
No.
Have you seen any of them?
No.
Not a dinosaur fan?
No.
Are you aware of the movies?
Yes. But they don't interest me.
Why not? You're not a dinosaur fan?
None of that sci-fi, anything like that, I don't get into it.
So, let's say there is a Jurassic World that you could go to and check out the dinosaurs. You're not going to go to it?
No.
There's nothing that could entice you to go.
Money.
So someone could pay
someone
you
pay me.
To
yeah.
go to Jurassic World yeah. Yeah. and check out the dinosaurs.
They'd have to pay me to go.
What kind of dinosaurs do you think you would like?
The Tyrannosaurus Rex.
You like the T-Rex?
Everybody. That's the only one I know.
that was going to be my guess.
I didn't know any of the other ones.
Yeah, we did a lot of dinosaur stuff while I was in school in terms of learning about them. I wouldn't think your school would have... I just think the dinosaur stuff hadn't really picked up when you were like in elementary school.
No.
We did a lot of projects. I did mine on the Apatosaurus. You know what the Apatosaurus is?
No.
It's one of those bigger dinosaurs.
Well, they're all big.
It's an herbivore, which means they're just eating grass and plants. Big, long neck. One of those real sort of giraffe-like ones.
What are the ones that eat trees?
Well, that could be the Apatosaurus. Okay. They're eating the leaves off the trees.
They're just probably eating a tree.
Well, yeah, they could just knock that thing down. The Jurassic World movie was good.
Okay.
It was interesting.
All right.
I'm not, like, super into that stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. Late night showing, 11:45 at AMC in Salina.
I was,
There were 25 minutes worth of previews, Steve.
Don't like that.
So the movie started at 12:10.
Eesh.
Or, excuse me, it was a 10:45 showing.
I was
started at 11:10.
I was sleeping well by then. I was worried we were going to get rained out for our
I got home at, like, 1:45.
I haven't seen 1:45 in 20 years, probably.
Remember I told you, though, back in the fall, I went to go see the Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And I showed up right at the time that it said it was like a 6:45 movie, got there at 6:48.
Yeah.
And they were 3 minutes into the movie. Well, Salina, they're the opposite. They go 25 minutes worth of preview.
That's no good.
Got me a big old popcorn.
Now, I like that. They have butter? A lot of butter.
Oh, a lot of butter.
Gotta have a lot of butter on the popcorn.
A lot of butter.
Yeah, got to.
All right, Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, you hit on it a moment ago. I wanted to talk a little bit about Jeremiah Robinson Earl, the former Bishop Miege star, 3 state championships, and his decision to go to the IMG Academy in Florida. We're back after this. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, wrapping up a big weekend. Lots of fun stuff that you were doing all weekend long. Lots of stuff I was doing all weekend long. But before we got into the weekend, we got some news. A little hot tip from Grandpa Danny.
Grandpa Danny.
Our inside source.
Sure.
The rumblings have been there for a while, but we didn't know if there would be an official announcement at any point. But we found out on Friday afternoon that Bishop Miege star and McPherson killer Jeremiah Robinson Earl, who beat the Bullpups 5 times, 2 times in the regular season, 3 times in the state championship game.
Not many players can say they were 5-0 against McPherson.
There are not many schools that could say they're 5-0 against McPherson on the boys' side. that he will be leaving Bishop Miege to go to the IMG Academy in Florida. Now, some of you may be going, what is the IMG Academy? What's the deal with that? You hear about it some. The IMG Academy is a prep school. And there are a lot of guys that are international that come through there. It is really big in basketball. And it's really big in tennis as well.
Okay.
A lot of really good tennis. I think Andre Agassi went to the IMG Academy.
I'm surprised the Pistol didn't go there.
No, that's in Bradenton. Okay. He can tell you all about Bradenton. It's an interesting place.
Okay.
But the IMG Academy, it's a prep school similar to Finley Prep or what's the one?
Oak Hill.
Yeah, Oak Hill Academy. What's the one that's in, like, Virginia?
That's Oak Hill.
Another one. There's another one.
Okay. That's the only one I can think of. But
that Derek Wittenberg went to.
DeMatha. Yeah, that's in Maryland.
Okay. It was close. Virginia, yeah. Maryland. Somewhere in the same spot. Yeah. But it's one of the prep schools that it's similar to Sunrise Christian, where they get to play at a very high level and not the same Kansas State organization.
And they play a lot of games.
And they play a ton
of
games. Where you look at what the IMG Academy has been able to produce. Since 2005, 8 alumni have been drafted to the NBA. Since in the 2017 NCAA tournament, there were 17 players that went to the IMG Academy. There have been 17 D1 commitments in the last 2 years at that school. And you look at the names of
Silvio
players.
Silvio De Sousa.
Silvio De Sousa. Michael Beasley trained there. Jonathan Isaac, who went to Florida State and is on the Orlando
Magic now.
Jamari Traylor. Jimmy Butler. Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Wow.
How about Iman Shumpert?
Mm-hmm.
Amari Stoudemire.
Wow.
So these are some big names
that
have come from this school. And I think everybody had a feeling that Jeremiah might make the move to go somewhere, whether it was IMG, whether it was
Oak Hill,
one of those.
Right.
And some of you may be asking, well, what's the point of that? He's the number 14 player in the class of 2018. It's not like his draft stock or his college stock is going to improve. And Jeremiah is not going there to get the attention of another Division I school.
No, he's already got an offer. KU's offered him. North Carolina's offered him. He doesn't need offers.
That's not the reason he's going there. The reason he's going there is to continue to get better. Because, let's face it, Jeremiah, to improve himself and keep getting better as a basketball player, will not get all that much better by playing schools in Johnson County and in Overland Park. That's not going to get him better for the NBA.
Right.
And that's his ultimate goal here, is keep getting better, seeing better and better competition. And some of you may also be saying, well, the guy plays AAU on the best teams in the country. So he's playing some of these very good players, and he gets to do that all summer. Well, by going to an IMG Academy or a school of this caliber, he can continue to get better during the school year as well. So Jeremiah has made this move here to IMG. And I think there are two things that will happen here. Number one is he stays the whole year at IMG, continues to get better, and chooses likely between North Carolina or KU.
Right.
The second option that I wouldn't be terribly surprised if it happened, Jeremiah goes there for the first semester, keeps getting his credits rolling in for school, and possibly pulls a Silvio De Sousa and transfers in at the semester.
Wow.
Do you think that could be a possibility?
Well, that had not crossed my mind, but
whether it's KU or North Carolina. Now, the thing with this is, even if he goes to KU at semester, he would not be eligible for the NBA draft.
Right.
That first year, similar to Silvio De Sousa.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he went to KU and played a year, he was not eligible for the draft this year.
Right, draft class.
Where it is all based off of your graduating class in high school. You have to be 1 year removed from that. So Jeremiah could not be eligible for the draft, but, like I've been saying, getting yourself better and better for the NBA and seeing better competition, if you get to KU, you get to North Carolina as a 17-and-a-half-year-old, 18-year-old, you keep seeing better competition. And the other thing for Jeremiah is that a lot of people think he might be going to KU. There are not very many spots on this year's roster for Jeremiah Robinson Earl, because this is a very good recruiting class. There are some very good big guys.
They've got so many. They had three red shirts this year.
Right.
And, you know, they've signed a couple of three people, I think, that played in the McDonald's. Two people played in the McDonald's game. I can't remember if it was Dotson, McCormick, and Grimes. Did they all play in the McDonald's game? I don't remember.
I'm sure they were all invited.
I think they were. I think all of them did. So they've, you know, but after this year, you know, they're going to lose a lot. They're going to lose.
Right.
Big Doke will go NBA. Lawson will probably go NBA.
DeSosa might be gone by then.
We don't even know if he's going to be eligible this year, because there's still questions surrounding him, although he says, no problem. But Jeremiah Robinson Earl, to me, he's another Perry Ellis. We talked about this morning.
I think they have a similar game. I think Jeremiah has more upside because he's a little more athletic.
Exactly. You just took the words out of my mouth.
A little taller.
Yeah.
But their game is somewhat similar.
Right.
But Jeremiah is more athletic.
Perry had a nice career for KU.
Perry had a great college career. And he's going to have a great pro career in other places and will be able to make a lot of money.
Overseas.
Right. But Jeremiah, I think his goal right now is get to the NBA. Every step and every move that he's making is, what will prepare me better for the NBA? And IMG Academy prepares him better for the NBA. And then, if he gets to practice an extra semester at KU and maybe have a chance to play a little bit, that continues to get him better for the NBA.
And one thing I mentioned earlier, he's now 235 pounds. I don't think Perry was ever about 225. Maybe he did, but when Perry got to KU, he was only about 205.
6'8", 6'9".
Yeah, 6'8". Yeah, Perry was about 6'8". But, you know, we saw a lot of Jarrett. Well, I did, but I don't know how much.
I saw a decent amount of him this past year.
Yeah, but I've seen him for 3 years, and he's just a very solid player. Do I think he's going to be an NBA player? I think he'll be a fringe player. I don't see him being an all-star. I really don't.
He for sure has a pro career.
He has a pro career. But
whether that's spending some time in the G League, whether that is playing in the NBA for a few years, I mean, I could see his highest ceiling being playing in the NBA for 8 years.
I think this is a good move for him.
Because,
you know, at times he looked bored. In the games against McPherson, he kind of looked bored. You know, he just didn't, you know, he needs another 6'9 guy, about 220, banging on him. You know, now Ben did a great job, I thought, guarding him. Ben guarded him quite a bit.
I don't think Jeremiah scored more than 20 in either of the games this
year. I think he was around 17 or so. And, you know, I thought Ben did a great job on him. But I know Jeremiah needs to develop an outside game. You know, he got a lot of dunks. He's real long. He's got real long arms. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he's got a pretty good wingspan. But he's going to be a good college player. Whether he is a good pro, I don't know. It just depends on how much he develops.
And I'm sure the people of McPherson, players, are all thinking, man, I wish he had gone 1 year earlier.
Yeah, because the Bullpups would have, you know, they would have won the state title last year at Jeremiah. There's no way Miege beats the Bullpups without Jeremiah.
So the next question that's looming around is, what classification is Bishop Miege going to be? And there are a lot of people that still believe they'll be 4A1, or it'll still be 4A1 in basketball, or it might just be 4A.
It's just 4A, yeah.
So a lot of people are anticipating they will still be 4A, but they're another one of those schools that are on the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is possible that they could be moving up to 5A as well.
Very possible.
I mean, they're like McPherson, that a majority of their existence as a school has been at 5A.
Yep.
And so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
That's what people forget around. I think people have really forgotten that in a hurry. We were a 5A school until 2012. So we were only a 4A school for 5 years or 6 years. I guess it'd be six basketball seasons.
The 2012-2013 year was the first
14, one. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 6 years we were 4A D1.
And football will go through this fourth cycle as a 4A or 4A1 school. They'll be 4A this year. So they're going through their fourth cycle of it. But we're anticipating everything else for McPherson being 5A.
Yeah.
Now, without Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and maybe without Josh Early, what is Bishop yeah, that's, Yeage this next year.
That's the other big rumor going around, is that Joshua Early may not be back.
So what is that rumor. Team like
but,
next
but
year?
That's just a rumor.
Well, so. Let's just say without Jeremiah, what's that team like next year?
Right.
It's a different team for sure.
Spencer Jones.
He should be back.
And if, say, Early's back, Stone Cold Jeffries.
Yeah.
And then they lose Lopes. They lose
Jeremiah Garrett.
They only played six guys against us, and now they lose Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Now, they've still got some pretty terrific athletes that were not starting for the varsity team. They were playing JV, some Division One wide receivers.
Football players, the Jackson kid.
Yeah, when you've got Division One players and Division One athletes that are not starting, means your team is pretty loaded. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. And I think a lot of people around here will be pulling for Jeremiah Robinson Earl as he makes his move. And I'm sure there are a lot of KU fans around here that'll be going,
well,
man,
remember,
I hope he comes to us.
His dad, Lester Earl, finished his career at KU, started at LSU.
But remember, his dad played for Roy.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, Jeremiah was quoted as saying, I don't want to be the next Lester Earl. I want to be the first Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
And for those of you that have been keeping up with it, Jeremiah played with the under-18 Team USA, which was coached by Bill Self, over the last month or so.
And he's played with Jake.
And he played in the AAU circuit with Jake Alexander, guys like Zach Harvey, Joshua Early.
Yeah.
A lot of pretty good players
that
have been playing through there. Jeremiah also got to play with Quentin Grimes on this under-18 team.
Quentin Grimes was the MVP.
And so his decision on where he'll be playing in college will be very exciting for people around here. Now, if you're a K-State fan around here that's a McPherson fan, you've rooted against them for 3 years, and you'll probably be rooting against them for another two.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting dynamic. But I'm pulling for him, and I hope that whatever this decision leads to will be good for him, good for where he wants to go to college, good for his potential pro future. So it'll be interesting to follow what happens with him, and I think a lot of McPherson fans are a little relieved that they won't have to go up against him again.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, let's take our final break. When we come back, the Royals, we can talk about them a little bit and what's coming up this week, what happened over the weekend. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmer State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, for the people that have missed any of the show earlier today, missed any of the show last week, go back and listen on podcast, soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Excellent work.
170, what?
Like 700, like 77?
Getting up there.
Yeah, we're...
Well, we're going to slow down a little bit in July.
As I'll be gone all of next week.
Right.
But we'll have the best of According to Jim, which will be pre-recorded.
There you go.
There's some pretty good segments mixed in there when I was putting it all together. Later on this week on the show, Drew Labertue coming on tomorrow. Talk a little bit about Bullpup football. We've had a couple of basketball players in here. Drew, of course, a basketball player, but also we got a whole football season to talk about as well.
Right.
Speaking of football, another football basketball guy, Jace Alexander, hoping to get him on Thursday, and then Friday it'll be Bon Voyage. Jim's gone for a while. Are you going to be okay without me?
Oh, I'll probably be doing the sports, but I'll probably come in and we haven't talked about it yet, but I used to always come in and do the sports in the morning. Mark would tape me and then play that during the day. But if not, we'll just do KIN sports probably.
Yeah, go ahead. You're welcome.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
Are you excited for this week, Steve?
Excited for this week?
Yeah, the most exciting part of the week. You know what the most exciting part of the week is?
I don't know.
The Arkansas Razorbacks in the College World Series final.
Yeah, Pig Suey or Poot Suey Pig, whatever.
You're going to have to call the Hogs.
Yeah, I don't know.
They will be taking on Oregon State this week. Remember, Arkansas is undefeated up in Omaha so far. Oregon State had to climb out of the loser's bracket and win in double elimination. Since they switched over the College World Series format to have the final be best 2 out of 3, which happened in 2003, five times this type of matchup has happened. One team undefeated, the other one having to come through the loser's bracket. Four out of the five times, the team that's undefeated has won.
Well, they should. They played less games.
The one team that came through the loser's bracket and won, though, Oregon State.
There you go.
Oregon State has been widely regarded as the second-best team in the country all year behind Florida. Arkansas has been regarded as about the top four, mm-hmm. for sure in the top five.
Yeah.
They started off the year number one in a lot of publications, but they've been four. The best thing, Steve, is that Arkansas won on Friday, and they get to set up their pitching rotation perfect. Their guy that's going to throw tonight, Blaine Knight, 13-0 this year.
I saw the is it Campbell? Was there a Campbell guy?
Isaiah Campbell. He
threw pretty well.
I had to put my faith in an Olathe South Falcon. Ooh. You know how much.
About the guy for Oregon State? Is he going to pitch game one?
Luke Heimlich, I believe, pitched over the weekend, and so his rotation I think is a little bit off. Okay. He had two bad games in Omaha so far, and that's been an interesting story.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't read much on him,
he's a registered.
Well, the Royals have had some interest in him. Or
Dayton Moore, the Kansas City Star said, "Don't do it."
It's been interesting.
Yeah, he's got some legal problems.
Yeah, for those of you that are interested in that, go search Luke Heimlich on Google, and there will be all sorts of stories that pop up. Speaking of the Royals, rough weekend. They've now lost. Well, they've now played 17 games in a row where they have scored four runs or less. That is hard to do.
Today's
the 25th.
They've won three games in June.
Ugh.
They're on their way to the worst month in the history of the franchise.
Ugh. Remember in 2013 when they had that really bad May?
Yeah.
Where they were like 5-19?
Yeah.
This one's probably going to be worse.
But this is a lot worse because
it's bad.
Their offense has just been miserable. Then, you know, the thing was, they almost won the first two games. They should have won the first two games of the series, but if they had Kelvin Herrera, they'd held on to him another couple weeks. They would have won another game.
Yeah. It's all over.
And now they're behind Baltimore.
Baltimore. They're bad.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is the worst Royals team ever.
Well, the Royals will play at 3:15, taking on the Angels today in a makeup game. All right, Steve, we're about to wrap up the show. Get ready. You're going to have to call the Hogs.
Oh, I just...
I'll teach you how.
Is it kind of like when we have the Culligan man and, you know, someone has to go, "Hey, Culligan man," or whatever?
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, so
we'll hear a little,
"Hoo!" Oh, I can't do that.
We'll hear it from you.
I can't do that. I don't think I got it in me.
"Hoo!"
Oh, man.
I can hear it.
I don't know.
Everybody out there, just root on my Hogs this week. That's all I ask.
They play at, what, 6 tonight?
6 o'clock tonight.
ESPN.
I was very close to making the drive up there.
Oh, I know you were.
But the rain has scared me.
Yeah.
I don't want to get up there and them say, "All right, we got a 3-hour delay," and I get back to town at 5 a.m.
That wouldn't be good.
No. All right, Steve, we'll wrap up today's show. Tomorrow coming on, Drew Labber 2. We're excited about that, so don't miss that. Here from 12:30 to 1. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.